chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
What a game! A tale of two halves, and two Frenchmen, Kylian Mbappé, put on a show at the Bernabeu. But Real Madrid, and most importantly, Karim Benzema, always seems to find a way. I'm here with James Benzema, Jonathan Johnson, yes, later on, and Jimmy Conrad to analyze all the drama. By the way, this is our 500th podcast YouTube show. Woohoo! The Diego Lasso Champions League recap begins right now. Welcome to Diego Lasso. Where are you watching this from? Who are you rooting for today? Get in the live chat and fire off of your questions. If you're a PSG fan, I want to hear from you. Is Pochettino done? Are you just basically completely want to burn it all down? I want your comments, your hot takes. Jimmy Conrad and James want to answer all your questions, as well as Jonathan Johnson. I don't even know where he is. We're thinking that maybe he's just like, he's gone up all the way at the Eiffel Tower and he's done. He's done with everything. But we also want to know about your takes from today. What a game. Oh, and there was another one, I think, that Scott Carson played in. But Jimmy Conrad, how are you, buddy?
I'm speechless in some capacity because PSG gave that away. They were in complete control of that game. Madrid were all over the place, and they got kind of casual. They tried to play out of every single situation, even if they were inches away from their own goal, and it cost them. And when you play up against a team like Real Madrid, who have an incredible history and pedigree of winning this competition, whereas PSG does not. They know how to get results, even if they don't play well, and they demonstrated that yet again.
Benzema, that's, by the way, created by Jimmy Conrad. Benzema, how are you, buddy?
I should be so lucky to share my name with Karim. My brain is just soup right now. I haven't been this shocked by a Champions League tie since the last time PSG did this. It's becoming quite a thing right now, isn't it? Wow, this was just none of us have even mentioned how Kylian Mbappe just delivered one of the all-time great Champions League performances, and it counted for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it meant nothing. It was Benzema Montada. That's exactly what it was in this game. I think I've stolen that from somebody. Nick Miller from The Athletic. I'm sorry about that. James Bench told me to just steal it, but it's so good. You got to credit it. It's so good. It really is amazing. So, you know, just blame James Bench in case I didn't buy you and pay for the credit for that one. But hey, welcome everybody. Champions League Wednesday recap show. Yes, there was a Man City Sporting game. We'll talk about that at some point when we all are completely done with really the headliner of today, which was Real Madrid. Incredible. 2-0 down in total aggregate at halftime. And then Karim Benzema and Los Blancos. And historical pedigree, Jimmy Conrad, I really feel is something worthy of mention, right? PSG, you know, individual talent, and you get sparks of brilliance from all over the pitch. But there is something to be said about the most successful team in this competition that you can't really replicate it. But talk to me. Let's begin with that first half, you know, because obviously PSG did look good and you thought, wow, Kylian Mbappé, to James Benji's point, were doing their thing.
What I want to say about the first half, the first 10, 15 minutes, injected straight into my veins. It was just fantastic on both sides. And I really thought that Madrid came out with the right emphasis. We talked about it in the preview show that they lacked any kind of, they were a little passive in leg one, right? They didn't have that aggressiveness that was needed to go get a result away in leg one. And I thought that Carlo Ancelotti was publicly criticized, rightly, by his board, because they just were listless and didn't have a lot of that oomph. And that right from the get-go, very similar to Madrid against Salzburg yesterday, they came out and were ready to play. The problem is that PSG were so good in transition. They're devastating in transition that if you apply in the right pressure, they have world-class players that know how to play out of tight spots. Their recognition of when to go and when to stay and when to support to go check back to it, or when to go up and over is ridiculous. And that led to the goal that Kylian Mbappe scored. And they were unlucky not to score more during that time. And it just felt like Madrid were hanging on for everything that they, I mean, they were so, if I was a Madrid fan watching that game, and you, I mean, even if I, you know, even though I'm wearing a Madrid jersey, I'm not a Madridista per se, but you could tell they were hoping, just blow the halftime whistle, please. We're struggling here. And then at some point we can address some things. And I actually think the subs maybe helped Madrid in a really important way when Rodrigo and Camavinga came on for Asensio and Cruz. Not to say that ultimately changed everything, but once those subs happened, 20 minutes later, they were up 3-1 in this game.
I mean, curiously, I thought this was kind of a great advert for how Ancelotti had played the first leg. Now, obviously, the Mbappe goal late in that first leg kind of spoiled things. But if you look at the kind of the expanse of 90 minutes, it certainly showed one thing Madrid could not do was let PSG get anywhere near their transition game. Because as Jimmy said, it was devastating. You know, and I think part of that is this is how PSG love playing. Give them broken pitch, they're great. But also, and we can't forget this in the sort of rush to, you know, Luis rightly praises their mentality. And we saw all that with Modric and Benzema. But we need to remember when they come to draw a quarterfinal team that Dani Carvajal is too slow. You know, there are Nacho Fernandez, obviously, if he's playing at left back, he's not a left back. You know, there are real holes in this defense that PSG have exploited and that other teams will be able to exploit. I thought in that first half, whenever they had the ball, they were slow. They looked... Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, they were passing the ball around Modric and Cruz because, you know, it was putting the stranglehold on the opposition. It was grinding them down. I felt like for a lot of that first half, Modric, Cruz, Alaba, they were all knocking the ball around, but they were looking for an idea. They were like, What are we doing here with our possession? And, you know, we'll come to talk about the second half, but I think we do have to sort of, like, remember that for a lot of this tie, Madrid looked like an eminently beatable team. And I think in the end, it wasn't so much that Real Madrid beat PSG as PSG beat themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said there. Obviously, Ferland Mendy not being there is a major issue. Casemiro not being there. I was a little worried about how Luka Modric was going to do. We're going to talk about the second half in a minute. I'm sorry, Des just took it away. But some really good comments from everybody. Please keep them coming, especially about Real Madrid. I read one about Karim Benzema, who some respect on his name. It's really weird, actually, the Karim Benzema conversation. We're going to get into the second half in a minute. But I want to welcome, I feel like this is the worst.
Do we have any sad music?
I know. Jonathan.
Look at that face. He's
so sad. Are you on your fifth tequila? Like, what's going on, buddy? How are you? How are you feeling, by the way?
Hey there, guys. Good to be with you. To be honest, I wish I had some tequila in the house. Unfortunately, all the alcohol in the cupboard is probably a little less hardcore. So it's going to take me a while to work through the old cabinet tonight.
So, JJ, thank you for being here. We're basically dissecting the game, but we're beginning obviously with the first half as they ended. And there's a comment from Noam, they're probably third favorites behind City and Liverpool. We'll talk about those rankings. Benjamin shaking his head. We'll talk about those rankings at the end of the show. But Jonathan Johnson, first of all, let's talk about that first half because PSG did look good and they did enter the break with a nice little 2-0 cushion. How did you feel from a PSG perspective in those first 45 minutes?
I mean, I think it worked itself out for them in the end. I didn't think they started as well as they would have hoped. You know, obviously Donnarumma was called into action very early on. But ultimately, by the time they got to halftime, you know, I think Pochettino and the players will have felt, you know, happy with the way things had gone. And even sort of in the first 10, 15 20 minutes of that second half, they would have been largely happy with it. I mean, obviously frustrated with both of the Mbappe goals being called off. But, you know, to be honest, it looked like if anyone was going to score that second goal on the night, it was going to be PSG until Donnarumma intervened, with a massive howler, as is, quite traditional, really, for PSG goalkeepers in big matches. We've seen it happen in Madrid in the past with Kevin Trapp, Alphonse Areola as well. And Donnarumma now adds his name to that ignominious list. But like I did say in the build-up to the match, you know, it was going to be a big call if Pochettino went with Keylor Navas and Donnarumma. I suggested it would be better to go with Navas because of his experience in these games. Let's not forget this was Donnarumma's debut campaign in the Champions League. And also, you know, the fact that he would have been playing against his former club. And I think You know, you cannot underestimate the importance of experience in those kind of games, because Donnarumma and then the PSG players collectively just lost the plot, as we've seen happen so many times in the past, and they paid the price for it, gone out, the season is over.
Yeah, JJ, I've got a lot of questions for you as our resident PSG expert. I guess one is Pochettino's future, and I know we're going to get into the second half.
What future?
There you go. So Manchester United fans are super excited at the moment. But secondly, do you? I don't know. Maybe they aren't. But this emphasis of them trying to play out of every single situation ultimately got them in a ton of trouble. And as the game went on, and they gave up more and more of those opportunities, and Madrid started to get more and more confidence. I mean, do you think that's a Pochettino thing? Or at some point, as a player, don't you recognize? I just got to lump it forward. I mean, I know how I feel in that situation. It's okay to break the lines and just go lump it forward to get out of that press. But they seem to continue to invite the press and had a little bit, I don't say arrogance, but close to it, of trying to play out of everything because we have the players that can do it. But if the pressure is put on correctly, even world-class players are going to cough up the ball.
You know what? I think some responsibility does have to lie with the players, because at the end of the day, they execute the manager's tactics. But I don't think that Pochettino, in his time with PSG, has ever really showed himself to be a manager who has different, you know, plans. You know, people will say, okay, but you know, he can't really tinker tactically with PSG, given, you know, the big names that he has to accommodate and has to keep in the team pretty much at all times. But you know, I think as well, you know, when you're somebody like Pochettino, you know, who came in to PSG at such fanfare, being, you know, former player, former captain, you know, and the expectation was so high, and everything that PSG fans had kind of hoped to see, you know, everything that was positive from his time as Spurs boss, you know, they haven't really seen. And I don't know whether that's because Pochettino has just been unable to adapt to the fact that he wasn't coaching Spurs anymore. Either that or the fact that he's just not somebody who has a lot of sort of tactical flexibility. But, you know, yes, of course, Pochettino does have to take, you know, a fair amount of the blame, but so do some of the players. I mean, you know, you cannot excuse players like Neymar and Messi from going missing. I know that Neymar provided the assist for Mbappe, but what else did he do during the game? He was an absolute passenger, as he has been so often at this level, and it's not acceptable given the money that PSG have invested into him. You know, and Messi looks every bit, you know, the player who was once a seven-time Ballon d'Or winner. You know, his time with PSG hasn't been productive so far. You know, he's been shown up game in, game out in Ligue 1 for the most part, you know, and his saving grace has been these Champions League performances, and we've barely seen anything from him over those two legs against Real Madrid, you know, and it's not enough to encourage you to want to see more of that next season if you're PSG. So I think that, you know, there has to be a lot of collective blame sharing, you know, but none of it, you know, really leads to a positive conclusion, because I don't think that PSG should be continuing Pochettino. I don't think they should be continuing with a lot of the players in that squad. And I don't think, crucially, that Mbappe will really fancy continuing with that either.
Yeah, well, that's another good point, that a story yet to be told. We have a nice little call to action here. Thank you, everybody, for the comments. PSG's five-year plan so far still not working out. They still are without a Champions League title, which is kind of incredible after all these years and all that money they've invested, of course. All right, well, who's to blame for PSG, everybody, crashing out? We'd love to get your comments. Who is to blame? Is it Pochettino? Is it the ownership? Is it the, you know, unbalanced squad? Messi? Who is it? Who is to blame for PSG? James Bench, chime in.
Well, I mean, I can tell you, I don't think it's to blame, right? Well, actually, I think, to me, it's pretty clear that this is an issue of the culture at PSG, because change the players, this keeps happening. Change the manager, this keeps happening. You know, I mean, let's take, you know, for example, the managers. We've seen Thomas Tuchel kind of hounded out of PSG, I think it has to be said, having taken them to the Champions League final. And there were lots of complaints about his politicking and, you know, his attitude in press conferences. But then he goes and wins the Champions League straight after. I mean, similar complaints beforehand about Unai Emery, who I know didn't pull up great trees at Arsenal, but clearly has proven himself to be a capable manager at Villarreal. And Mauricio Pochettino, similarly, you know, there's nothing in his track record that suggests he can't get his teams to do what they want. I mean, if this keeps happening time and time again, you do have to kind of look at the way in which the organization runs and the organization exists, because, you know, it wasn't Mbappe and Neymar and Messi you know, back in the remontada 5 years ago. But it was a very familiar feeling, wasn't it, that PSG weren't battle-tested, that they gave up quite easily, that they didn't believe in themselves and didn't really have much confidence. And, you know, I think we all, none of us like talking about these nebulous ideas like culture, because you can't nail it down, so you can't fix it.
Yeah.
But clearly, if you've tried everything else, if you've imported serial winners, if you've imported the best coaches, I think you do kind of have to look a bit deeper and say, are we run in the way that an elite organization should be if our aim is to win the Champions League?
Yeah, that's a great point. I don't know how much I can add to that, and especially from a big picture perspective. And I think the ownership needs to be taken a look at as well. Are they, it sounds like they're providing everything. I know JJ can probably give us a lot more insight on that. When I think about the game itself, though, it's just some in-game management that kind of frustrated me. They, even though they were down 3-2, it felt like they were down 3-0 at that point. There wasn't seem like you have Neymar, you have Messi, you have Mbappe. They're all on the field. Can you guys not generate a meaningful attempt after that? Even though, you know, Madrid's going to sit back. They had plenty of, I just couldn't believe the response to this situation. It was more like they put their heads down and were like Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh than, oh, me, here we go again. Everything's the worst. Then actually like picking themselves up and getting back after it. Yeah, it sucks that you got stung a little bit, but pick your shit up and go and try to go forward. They created enough opportunities. Messi had that one chance. He kind of flicked over Courtois and Mbappe was very close to scoring, you know, a couple other goals, just being, a little bit offside on a couple things. I mean, they were in positions to make something happen. And the fact that they just kind of gave up at the end was pretty disappointing. And I think that speaks to everybody in some ways, you know, maybe a reflection of the ownership and then obviously the management and then the players as well.
Yeah, nothing screams desperation quite like throwing Julian Draxler on for a 3-minute cameo right at the end of a really important Champions League game. James raised a really good point earlier about the management, the leadership, the way that PSG are run. You know, there's been a lot of criticism of Leonardo, since his return in 2019, his role in the departures of certain key players. His relationships, never positive with any of the coaches. We've mentioned Tuchel, Pochettino as well. You know, both have had to suffer quite prickly relationships with him. Yet, you know, this was a guy who was basically brought in to sort of take on presidential responsibility while Nasser Al-Khelaifi was indisposed. So, you know, I think that a lot of the responsibility will have to fall on his shoulders. There's already been suggestions that PSG are potentially looking into replacements for him as well as Pochettino. You know, there's been shouts of a duo of Zinedine Zidane and Arsene Wenger. We'll see if, you know, something like that comes to fruition. But the other thing that I will say is there were some really unexpected poor performances on the pitch tonight. None more so than Marquinhos, who I thought looked an absolute shadow of himself for somebody who's usually so sure of himself in the defense. You know, when your captain is putting in a performance like that, which I thought was pretty ropey, it doesn't really inspire you with confidence. And that's not to lump all of the blame on him. You know, there's no legislating for a mistake like Donnarumma's at this level, but there were too many passengers in that team. You know, I know that some people rave about Leandro Paredes. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't get it. But, you know, I feel like talking yourself into a booking within the first 10 minutes, knowing that you're going to be suspended if PSG get through or in next season's Champions League opener. and it's really, I just feel that some of the decisions that Pochettino made were a bit baffling. I mean, I think if you put Idrissa Gueye in for Paredes from the start and you put Keylor Navas in goal, you know, I would feel more comfortable about PSG, certainly going into that scenario once they concede that goal. You know, if, I don't know, maybe Navas would drop a howler as well. But I just think collectively the mentality, you know, it wasn't there. And to be honest, the warning signs have been there for months now. You look at some of the results PSG have suffered domestically, you know, going away and losing 3-1 to Nantes. The disinterest from a lot of those players has been there for so long. And I think that this is really going to be the straw that breaks the donkey's back with Mbappe deciding that he's not going to be able to win what he wants to win as a player, and as part of a team with this PSG side, because they're just going to fall apart at the moment that they really need to come together.
We're getting more viewers, more audiences. It's growing and growing. Everybody wants to chime in on PSG and Real Madrid. Thank you so much for joining us. Qué Golazo, Wednesday Champions League recap with Jonathan Johnson, Jimmy Conrad, James Benj. We have a few call to actions. First of all, I want to know from you right now, Mauricio Pochettino, is he done? Is he done? And if so, is he done before the end of the season? Number two, if he is done, what do you do to fix this? Who comes in? Zidane, Wenger, etc., etc. And the other call to action I have for you, Kylian Mbappe. Does this basically seal his move to Real Madrid? Does he want a bit of what he just saw tonight? Of course. So all those calls to action. Thank you so much for being part of the family. All that. Thank you so much for your comment. Mauricio Pochettino, you can take the man out of Tottenham, but you can't take Tottenham out of the man. Nice little comment there. James Bench, I know you had a little comment, Benjamin. What do you got?
Yeah, I have one final plea for our viewers. For these influential figures in the world of PSG and football and beyond that have joined me on this podcast. And I beg of you, there was one Kylian Mbappe goal tonight. You can choose to remember it however you wish. I will be choosing to remember that the Kylian Mbappe goal was the one where actually he was flagged offside, but executed that world-ending, career-ending dummy on Thibaut Courtois. That could be... We could all, as a universe, we could all just pretend that was the Mbappe goal. So why don't we?
Yeah.
No. One thing, LLB, really quick that I think we need to bring up, and something we actually didn't discuss in the pregame show, is that away from home in the Champions League, in the group stages as well, PSG never won. They went to Club Brugge, drew 1-1, RB Leipzig 2-2 in Germany, and then they lost in Manchester 2-1.
Yeah.
And now they lost again here. I mean, there's just something about like finishing off a game when they have the opportunities. They just didn't show away from home.
Yeah. But funnily enough, they were stronger on the road in the first couple of months of Pochettino's time in charge. We saw them go and win at Bayern. We saw them go and win at Barca. It just feels like it never really got going for them this season in the Champions League. I mean, yeah, we saw them beat City at home, but City did pretty much everything but score in that game as well. So it's, it just feels like one big exercise in wasted time, this PSG Champions League campaign.
Yeah, there's a psychological thing that you can see just everywhere. I mean, listen, Donnarumma's mistake, I think, set the precedent for what was to come. Everybody in the PSG lineup was just like, ah, here we go again. Keylor Navas is probably like staring Pochettino on the bench. There's such a psychological aspect to it. All right, we've talked about PSG a lot, and rightly so, but we do need to tip our hats to Real Madrid, who really just, and Karim Benzema. I mean, I have a call to action already straight up. Jimmy, I mean, you brought it up first. Why don't you ask the fans and everybody specifically now about Karim Benzema? Now Real Madrid's third all-time scorer. I mean, unbelievable. What's the call to action, buddy?
My call to action is something that I was thinking about previous to us coming on, being on camera. Who's the better number nine in the world right now? Is it Karim Benzema? Is it Robert Lewandowski? That's my question to everybody watching or listening. Hit us up on Kegolasso Pod on Twitter if you want to hit us up later for this. Or I guess another way to look at it is, who would you build your team around? Would it be Benzema? Would it be Lewandowski? This is a tough conversation because both of these guys are playing at a very, very high level at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great one. So let us know, what do you think about Karim Benzema? So James Benjamin, jump on to you right now. Let's talk Real Madrid. Because I think historical pedigree really proves a point here. You know, just being the most successful team in this competition can sometimes help, I guess. But, I mean, a reminder, everybody, Mendy was not playing in this game, right? There could have been more exploitation there. Casemiro, who really controls so much in that midfield, wasn't playing in that game. I know it's Karim Benzema, but how did they do this in the second half, buddy?
Well, I mean, you want me to talk about Real Madrid. I still want to talk about Kylian Mbappe's dummy, but apparently we're not allowed to do that. I think in the end, it's about sort of the battle-worn veteran sense for when a team is there to be taken. So, because you can't just sort of take PSG out of the equation of why Real Madrid did so well and why Real Madrid won, because you could just see that, you know, the minute Donnarumma made that mistake, and PSG were pretty comfortable before that, was that they smelled blood in the water and they were devastating. And, you know, it was like they all went on 10 years younger in a moment. And Luka Modric, who, you know, being shouted out in our comments here as well, it was like seeing the Modric who just arrived at Real Madrid, dynamism, winning the ball back in his own area. And then, you know, 10 seconds later, he's popping up to play the killer pass.
Without the luxury of Casemiro supporting him in the midfield as well, I thought was really impressive. Sorry to interrupt, Benj. That's exactly it. Yeah, keep going, buddy. Sorry.
Well, yeah, and I think credit to Ancelotti for dealing with that quite well by dropping Modric and Cruz deeper and basically using Valverde like a sort of pressing attacking midfielder. I thought he did that really nicely. But you know, I think we naturally, as the sort of great names of the three-time Champions League winners of earlier this, you know, at five or so years ago, as they drift away, we sort of think, and I'm certainly been guilty of thinking that maybe that killer instinct has gone, but players like Modric, like Benzema, they know the rhythms of a European tie. They know when to sit deep and hold out. And I think that's maybe is why they were so cautious in that first leg, because I think they always kind of viewed it as, let's stay in this tie and let's trust our experience in the final 15, 20 minutes, if that's what it comes down to. Let's trust that in that scenario, we know what is required. And I thought they managed everything about this tie expertly, not least the way they kept, you know, they kept on the attack. They didn't let this go to extra time. They made sure that they won it in normal time and then tightened up. I mean, for a team that, you know, there'll be a lot of talk about away goals, and I thought they managed that side of it perfectly as well. And great, you know, again, being flagged up in the comments, great introductions off the bench. Camavinga brought energy, brought dynamism. Rodrigo was not afraid to take a shot. It was all about suddenly adding a bit of pace and energy to go with that veteran know-how. I thought they judged the tie perfectly.
Go ahead, JJ. Yeah, I mean, I think, you, buddy.
No, I mean, I think in many ways, you know, I think that the last half an hour of the game, Real deserve immense credit for the performance that they managed to pull out. You know, so many players, you know, managed to roll back the years. You know, I think Ancelotti, you know, he's seen, been there, done that, you know, and really, you know, made the right decisions at the right moments as well. But it seems like a really weird thing to say, because as much as, you know, it was a really impressive turnaround for Real, and they will be delighted, you know, to have gotten this result, I still wouldn't place them up there as favourites for the Champions League. I think that Benzema papers over a lot of cracks in this team. I still think that there are far too many ageing players there. They're going to be too leggy. I mean, sure, maybe they get through the quarterfinals. I don't see them going any further than the semis, really. You know, because really, I still see this team as one that really PSG should, you know, have kept in the bag once they had them there. Like James said, you know, it's almost kind of, it's impossible to talk about Real's victory without talking about PSG's defeat, because, you know, it really was that self-inflicted. But, you know, it was great to see, you know, the, you know, Real star players, you know, for that short period of time, you know, really rolling back the years, showing us the best of what they can do. You know, to see Benzema, as you know, he's such a complete player. I mean, you know, Jimmy's question earlier was, you know, who would you rather build your team around, Benzema or Lewandowski? For me, it's Benzema. Benzema is, you know, arguably the most complete forward in the game, because he's not only a taker of goals, he creates them as well. He's yeah. a phenomenal talent, brilliant technique. You know, and Lewandowski, although he is arguably, you know, the sharper in front of goal, more predatory, you know, he doesn't bring other players into the game in the same way that Benzema does, and, you know, is not capable of laying them on as much. I know he got an assist in the game against Salzburg the other day, but who didn't? It was, you know, really for me, you know, Benzema makes all the difference for this Real side right now. And if they can squeeze another season or two out of him, you know, him returning to the French national team is, you know, is a big deal as well over here in France. He's just, you know, he really is different gravy, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, I would say that I like the Benzema over Lewandowski. I think you can make a really strong case for either one, I guess, depending on who he's surrounded by and what the formation is, the coach, blah, blah, blah. But both of them are excellent. With regard to this game in particular, what I noticed when the sub got made, when Camavinga came on and Rodrigo came on, Asensio not really being that connected, not really holding on to the ball, not being effective really consistently throughout that game. And what I saw in the first half was there, it would be Vinicius kind of trying to do 1v1 stuff, Benzema trying to get on the end of things. He had a bunch of headers today, nothing really too dangerous. Asensio, nothing really felt connected. And then there was a big gap. And I think maybe because Cruz was sitting somewhat more in the Casemiro role, which I thought it was a bit of a surprise. I thought Valverde was going to do that, but they had him a little bit higher, as Bench noted, to make him, because he's got more energy, can press, got younger legs. But when Cruz came out, because I don't think he was 100%, and Camavinga came in, that made a big difference. But if you remember on TV, Camavinga comes on, he runs right over to Modric and tells him something. And at that point, Modric starts going higher up the field. He starts to play a little bit more connected to Benzema. He starts to press a little bit higher up the field. And now their balance in their team changed everything. And I thought that was a genius move by Ancelotti, not only with the player selection, but also the formation change to get Modric up higher. his unlocking of the second goal, when Modric picks it up and runs and breaks the lines, he's got Neymar trailing him, he's got three people on him, and plays that ball in the defense behind Rodri. I mean, it's just, to Vinicius, I mean, it's just ridiculous how good Modric was when it was time to turn it on. To your point, LME, or to Benji, whoever said it, that they just know how to manage a game in the Champions League, and these players know what they're doing. Now, when JJ's saying that Madrid are old and this isn't their time, it's definitely a bitter PSG fan. So we got to take that with a grain of salt, everybody. But when you get Mendy back in the team, you get Cruz and Casemiro, Cruz at 100% and Casemiro back to the team, and you start to get Nachos out of there, and you're not relying on Asensios per se to go out there and do the be the difference. I think this Madrid team, because of their experience, can go a long way. I don't think they're going to go on and win it. We'll see how the draw plays out for them and how the road to the final looks. But you can't sleep on these guys, and they proved it once again that even if you defeat yourself, they're going to take advantage of it. Not all teams can do that.
I think that the way to win this Champions League, and to win anything really, it's not just about your first 11, right? And when you have Camavinga coming in and delivering, to your point, and Rodrigo, things can happen. But to that point, before JJ leaves, because we're going to take a break as well, and I know that Jimmy, you're cut on time as well, and obviously it's late at night for Benjamin over there. We want to make sure that he gets to sleep. Let's do a quick power rankings, everybody. So another call to action. All right, we had a comment here. Real Madrid surely in that top three favorites to win the whole thing. Wow, I don't know about that. So let's do a, I guess let's do the top three, and then you can play around after that. Your three to win the whole thing now. Now that PSG are gone, they were my tip to win the whole thing. So I'm going to flip it around. But in our power rankings, they weren't. It still was Manchester City. I think I'll go with Liverpool second to that. And I got to go with Bayern Munich third now, just because of, I guess, you know, yeah, Salzburg is not exactly a great definitor, but, you know, maybe they got their mojo back. So give me your top three, everybody. Call to action. But let's begin with you, James Bench. Top three.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably have the same as you, just maybe change around the order. I think Liverpool first. I think that a lot of people were lulled into the result being not looking amazing against Inter Milan when the performances were pretty exceptional. Then I'd have City, but, you know, throw a blanket over those two. I can't separate them. And then Bayern next. I think that there's a little thing of Bayern and Chelsea. Then the rest. And
you have Chelsea just hovering, trying to penetrate that top three. Is that what you have?
Yeah, I would almost have like one and two, or 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
Three and four is...
Like the Premier League, basically.
Look, I hate to say it, but the Premier League's the best league in the world.
No, don't hate to say it. I agree.
I actually agree with Bench. I think Liverpool are my favorites. I think City... It's hard to read into today's results just because there was nothing really for them to play for. They created more than enough chances to win that game. Didn't give up any shots for about the first 60 minutes or something crazy. So and they have the quality. When they get everybody back, they're going to be there. I think the draw obviously is going to be of the utmost importance for any of this. So Liverpool, City, and then I'd go Bayern Munich third. With all due respect to Chelsea, it's just hard to win this competition back-to-back, and they just don't seem like they're flowing in the same way that they were last season. But Tuchel and one-off competitions, JJ knows. The guy knows what he's doing, so... You can't count them out, but I agree with Bench.
Yeah, and to that point, I'm actually going to put Chelsea above Bayern. I agree with James Bench. I think it's difficult to separate Liverpool and City. I think you could make a case for either one of them being the favourites. City would be the easy choice, given the way that they've just thumped Sporting. But, you know, I think that it's definitely, for me, you know, City, Liverpool and Chelsea, you know, sort of the three out in front. Bayern, I guess we'll have to see how Ajax perform against Benfica. You know, I wouldn't completely rule them out, you know, given that I think this is the last year for a lot of those stars to keep performing at this level. And when you've got a striker as hot as Haller is, you know, you can always go far, especially if you get a favorable draw. But, you know, I think it's hard to see past the four that we've already been discussing. And to Jimmy's point, you know, I think that Tuchel is the right man for Chelsea to have in charge right now. Well, there's a lot of noise away from the pitch. He's very good at sheltering his players, keeping them away from that. And it almost plays into this us against them mentality, which really enables Tuchel to foster that team spirit that they used to great effect last season when they won the Champions League. So, you know, we'll see if he can pull it off again. I wouldn't necessarily bet on it, because I do think that it will probably be one of Liverpool or City coming out on top. But, you know, there's still a long way to go, and we'll see what the draw has in store for us, as well as the remaining round of 16 games.
Yeah, from the comments, I think they're in agreement with us a little bit, definitely with Man City and Liverpool. You can alternate there. And then it gets interesting, of course, Chelsea, Bayern Munich. And
I wish one of us had the John Stones or courage, that is, to say Manchester United or something.
I knew you were going to say Manchester United.
Or Juventus. It's totally going to be Juve. Vlahovic for the world.
Well, you know, we have enough Serie A talent here as well to probably try and pitch in for Juventus. But, you know, we'll make that of what you will. All right, well, listen. JJ has to say goodbye to us as we take a break. But JJ, what are you going to do with with your time off midweek now that you don't have to go to Parc des Princes?
Man, you know what? I'm so excited. I might actually be able to enjoy some football for once. And when you've got Villa playing on a Thursday evening as well, you know, that's some fantastic competition for the great tournament, the great competition that is the Hankook, James Benge's favorite.
Jesse Marsh is going to make you cry 2 days in a row now.
Hey, be quiet. Be quiet. All right, Jonathan Johnson, thank you so much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll try and make the most out of Sporting and Man City as well. But we'll also talk about the Europa League as well. Our man, James Benge, had a great interview, by the way, with a certain Hammer. And as we have some Thursday action as well, and some final thoughts. So, Que Golazo, Champions League Wednesday recap. We'll be right back.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back, everybody. Champions League Wednesday recap. Jimmy Conrad and James Bench. We still want to know your comments, everybody, specifically about the power rankings. It'll be great to have you. By the way, Que Golazo listeners, we want you to compete with us in a bracket challenge game. I'll be there. Jimmy Conrad will be there. James Bench, I'm sure. Jonathan Johnson will be there. And we want you as well. Join us at cbsports.com/GolazoBrackets. And the winner gets a $100 gift card to Paramount Plus. I love it. You're able to watch NCAA tournament games on Paramount Plus. Tons of soccer from the Champions League to CONCACAF, golf majors in the spring, NFL football in the fall, some Keenan and Kel. We're excited for the debut of Halo, which is streaming March 24th exclusively on Paramount Plus. And head to ParamountPlus.com/Halo to try it for free. But back to the brackets. Who enters just one, by the way? You can also create a group to compete against friends and fill out your brackets for the chance to win a trip to the 2023 Final Four. You can play on the CBS Sports app or at cbsports.com/GolazoBrackets. James Bench, how's your college basketball right now? Is it good?
It's not. I just do not understand this. Like, you can't imagine. If you came to the UK, and Luis, you know this. This is bizarre. Like, we have the boat race where Oxford... go Oxford, race Cambridge, and everyone goes, these weird posh unis, what nonsense. And like, yeah, you've got your whole nation is defined by supporting universities you never even went to.
But I gotta tell you something, it's kind of amazing. It's fun. And also, by the way, don't get us in trouble. It is CBS and Paramount Plus content, so we want to make sure we get people going.
I
went to UCLA, just support the Bruins. And you'll be
done.
Okay? Done.
That sounds good.
But you know what? Let's do one day, 1 year, the Oxford-Cambridge boat race. That would be really fun.
We get that on Paramount.
We could do it. Absolutely. Hey, by the way, join us on Calling Culture tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern. Christine Cooper, Dre Cordero for a chance to win also another $100 gift card for Paramount+. We're giving them away like confetti, baby. I like it. All right, let's do this game. Get it over and done with. Man City Sporting. It was 0-0. Sinchenko started. Pep gives Egan Riley his first Champions League start. Scott Carson between the sticks, James Bench. Anything to take away from that? At least Sporting didn't get a spanking in this one.
Yeah, I mean, great progress for Sporting, considering they've now played 4 games in the Champions League round of 16. They lost the first ones to Bayern Munich by an aggregate score of 12-1. So... yeah, go for progress. I'll be honest, I watched the first 30 minutes of this kind of out of the corner of my eye.
That's a lot, actually.
I know. And then was just like, no, I don't even want to distract myself from Real Madrid PSG. But the XG numbers look customarily excellent for City. You know, and in that 30 minutes, they had Sporting at arm's length without really putting too much effort into it. I'm sure they'll be thinking, we've got a pretty tough game against Crystal Palace coming up. So this was as good as they could have wished for.
I think the thing I was most excited about was that Egan Reilly, the 19-year-old who started, he only had one League Cup appearance for City, getting the start in the Champions League game, is that his first name is Conrad. That is pretty much the most exciting thing that I took away from this game, is that his first name is my last name, and I was really buzzed for him to get the start. Of course, Raheem Sterling, I had him to score. He misses sitters. I don't know what I'm thinking, you know, but yeah, I mean, there was no urgency. There didn't need to be any urgency from City. I actually, from a Sporting perspective, it was really important for them. They're in a bad run of form, two wins out of the last six, now two wins out of the last seven. But for them to kind of shore up where they had real big issues in leg one, I think it was important for their own team morale. They still have a lot of work to do to just stay threatening in the Portuguese league. They're down 2-1 after leg one of the League Cup in Portugal as well to Porto. They're up 1-0 in that midweek last week, and they blew it. They gave up two goals. And so they got a lot of work to do. And I think this could be, I think they just needed a performance. They have a young manager, Ruben Amorim. He needed something to build off of. And I think 0-0 from their perspective is something they can feel good about. But from City, I mean, yeah, the XG kind of says it all. They should have scored and they didn't. And at this point, they're like, whatever, we're to the next round. It's all good.
Yeah, well, we had a good question about Liverpool yesterday. Let's ask it today about Man City. Obviously, Liverpool going for that historic quadruple. But Man City, everybody, here's a call to action for everyone. Man City is still obviously, you know, leading the way in the Premier League. They're in the FA Cup and Champions League. So I'll ask everybody, and then I'll ask these two lovely gentlemen, will they win all three? 1-0-2? What are they winning at the end of this season? What do you think, Jimmy Conrad?
I was hoping to go to Benjamin first. I think they're going to win one. And I'll say the Premier League. I think City will go on to win the Premier League at a minimum. They're not going to win. Yeah, that's it. I think they're just going to win one, and I think it'll be the Premier League.
They play Southampton in the FA Cup, then Chelsea, Middlesbrough on the other side, Palace, Everton, and then
They could win more than one, but I'll say one. I think they're going to do it in the Premier League. I just think they got the experience, and I think they're going to see it through. It comes down to the draw. If I knew who they were in the quarterfinals and could kind of see their path to the final, I think that will influence.
I know. We're just having some fun.
I know. Yeah. I know it's all hypothetical, but I'll say one.
Yeah. All right. Benj?
I mean, the same as Jimmy, I would certainly say that I'd be pretty confident they'll win the Premier League. I just feel like they're less likely than Liverpool to just have an off day.
Yeah.
And then I feel like one of the cups, but I wouldn't want to pick it. Yeah. I mean, and also, you know, going back to what you talked about yesterday, it's almost like the fate of these two is a little bit intertwined. Like, if Liverpool get knocked out of the quarterfinals,
they can go to the Champions League.
I'm up in my belief that they'll win the Premier League, and vice versa, because there's a lot of games left to be played, and someone's going to have to fit these in. And I think inevitably, when these two are basically, even if they're not playing each other, are slugging it out across such, you know, every 3 days, it's almost like they're in competition with each other.
Yeah.
You know, they can't beat each other on three separate fronts, I don't think so.
Yeah, they determine each other's fates in many ways just because of everything that's going on. Yeah, all right. Well, I'm going for two. I'm going for the Premier League. I think they're going to hold on and win that. And you ready, everybody? Are you ready? The Champions League.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't hard because I had PSG to win it all before, and now they're gone, so I got to go to Man City.
Right.
But
so,
you know,
so we'll do you feel like Pep would leave? Like, what else would he have to left to accomplish?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's the ultimate treasure for Pep Guardiola, to win the Champions League with Manchester City. I don't know how comfortable he is about. Where does he go after this? PSG? Could that happen? By the way, can you imagine that?
That would be crazy.
I think he'd hate it.
Yeah.
I actually think he wouldn't leave. I've seen a little bit more of him, and I remember speaking to him before the final last season. He's really enjoying it. I think he would never find another club built from the ground for him. And yeah, he'll go at some stage, and it may not be that far off. But I don't think the Champions League winning it would matter. I think he will, but He's an unknowable man, isn't he?
Well, you make a good point. I think there's, not since his good days at Barcelona have I seen him so happy in his surroundings, just everything that he has at his disposal. But, like to your point, Pep Guardiola, we'll see what happens. But we'd love to hear your thoughts. All right, let's quickly go to the Europa League. By the way, there were some matches today. Lyon winning 1-0 against Porto. It wasn't all bad for league clubs today. Lyon won. Real Betis lost 2-1 to Frankfurt. It wasn't good for La Liga clubs in this one. Anything to take from that, Jimmy? Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. I'll say very quickly that Lyon is managed by Peter Bosch, and he actually led Ajax to the Europa League final when Mourinho was leading Manchester United. I think he's got a good track record in this competition. I think he knows how to get the most out of his teams, and I wasn't surprised that he went to Porto and got a result. I mean, they've got Paqueta. I know they sold Bruno Guimarães, obviously a key player for them, to Newcastle, but Paqueta scored. Moussa Dembele up top. They got Ndombele, Toko Ekambi. I mean, they got some players. They got some really good players. So if they can just lock it down in the back, and it looked like they obviously did the business there today. Once they get past Porto, and that's a tough team to try to take down over two legs. I think they're going to do the business in leg two. So I was really impressed with them. That was the game I focused on more than Betis Frankfurt.
So Jimmy, I know you got to go soon. So let me quickly just ask you about Thursday, Sevilla against West Ham. And by the way, we'll talk to James in a second because Benjamin interviewed Pablo Fornals, which was great. You can see it on our Que Golazo YouTube channel, by the way. So check it out. And obviously Barcelona against Galatasaray. What do you take for that, Jimmy?
Yeah, these are a lot of great matchups. Barcelona want to continue to see how they play with this new look, this new belief in themselves, this new attack with Aubameyang and Traore and Ferran Torres. And it's just awesome. It's awesome to watch. And then Atalanta Bayer Leverkusen could be a goal fest. Excited about that. Rangers hosting Red Star would be interesting. But Sevilla West Ham, I feel like West Ham got done dirty with this draw. Just absolutely done dirty. I mean, they're into the knockout rounds of the Europa League. Got to be feeling good about themselves. They get the draw and they get Sevilla, who are arguably the favorites to go on to win this. They've won 6 out of the last 16 Europa League trophies, the finals in their home stadium. It's just like, God, that must suck. So we'll see. I mean, this is what the club wants, right? You want to be bigger. You want to get more money. You want to be in these competitions. And now they just got knocked out of the FA Cup. They just lost a tough one to Liverpool. They're not coming into this with a ton of confidence to go down to Spain and make it happen. So I feel bad a little bit for West Ham, but on their day, then they've been very good in this competition. I wouldn't put it past them to get a result. I don't know about a win, but maybe a draw to take it back to London Stadium. But it should be a great one. I can't wait to watch that one tomorrow.
No, absolutely. Well, Jimmy, that's it for you. Thank you so much, buddy. Jimmy Conrad on Twitter and Instagram. Jimmy also will be part of obviously the remaining of our week, including weekend preview, weekend recap, et cetera, et cetera. Jimmy, final thoughts before you say goodbye? Anything?
No, I just want to give a shout out to Madrid and Karim Benzema for being an absolute beast and expertly taking all three of those goals. What an absolute legend he is. And just imagine, somebody had a comment there. If Ronaldo hadn't played for Madrid, what would the numbers be like for Benzema now? It would be really something special. I think we do underrate him at times for how much talent he does have. All right, guys, I'm done. Thank you so much.
Jimmy Conrad, cheers. Thank you, buddy. Take care. Thank you so much. As I mentioned, Jimmy Conrad on Twitter and Instagram. Right there, James Bench. To wrap everything up, I'm very intrigued about this interview with Pablo Fornals. Please talk to me. How are they feeling about this game? To Jimmy's point, Sevilla is going to be a tough draw, but David Moyes' side has always proven to be really resilient. They missed a few sitters against Liverpool. I really think they could have taken a few things out of that one. What did he say? How are they feeling about this game against Sevilla?
Yeah, I mean, just what you were saying. I one of the questions I asked Pablo, because he'd come away from that Liverpool game saying, God, I'm so proud of the way we played and we really gave one of the best teams in Europe a good go. And I said, well, what happens if you do that against Sevilla? He goes, I don't think there are many teams in Europe, in the world, that can beat us if we play like that. Pablo Fornals, I have to say, fantastic interview. I really enjoyed my chat with him. 20 odd minutes, you can see it on our YouTube channel. And I think there is a real confidence and belief in this squad. I know that they've been hit hard by results of late. Yes, there was going out to Southampton in the FA Cup and losing that tough one at Anfield. But that's the sort of game, when you play that well against one of the best teams in the world, you come away from that feeling confident. And they've beaten Wolves. They've done really well in this competition. And I think, in a way, maybe it sort of suits them to be the spoilers a little bit. Big thing will be, is Declan Rice fit? If Declan Rice is fit, I don't see any reason why they can't go there and get a good result without him and Jared Bowen, who we know is out. It's tough. Like, it's definitely not beyond this group of players. There's so much quality in both teams, but in West Ham as well. But, like, add Rice to this team, and I'm really, really excited for the game.
Yeah, how long is Jared Bowen out for?
Not long. He might be back for the second leg, which okay. is kind of another reason why you just think, can we go to this stadium? It's such a tough place to go, especially in Europe. Can we go there and just survive? You know, just stay in the tight, yeah. like Madrid did against PSG. Just hold on, just hold firm, and see what happens. I think they're in with a real chance. And then I think whichever team comes out of this tie, you put them right up with Leipzig, with, let's say it's Barcelona, you put them in the favourites category.
Yeah, absolutely. So any West Ham fans, how are you feeling? Let us know. Do you think this can happen? And also very quickly, James, before we move on to Barcelona for a second, you know, West Ham are, you know, sixth right now in the Premier League. We know what's going on with United right now. Can they do this, James Minch? Can they get a Champions League spot, do you think?
I think this is the best chance right now. They've played so many games. They would never admit it, but I think they kind of know that top four, I mean, no one thought they would get it anyway, but I think they know it's probably going to be just about beyond them this season. So it kind of heightens the desire and heightens the priority for this competition. And it means a lot to the fans. It means a lot to the players. The London Stadium, everyone knows, not always the most atmospheric of grounds, but on European nights so far, it's been really special, and it hasn't hosted a team like Sevilla yet. And, you know, there's no fear. This is, I think there's a real desire, and you've seen it. I've been at every one of their games so far. Well, actually, maybe I wasn't at the last one. It was a bit of a non-event, the home one. And they keep harking back to the 1965 Cup Winners' Cup final, where the players that would go on to win the World Cup helped West Ham win their only European trophy. And I think they know how rare these opportunities are, and they know what place they would hold in West Ham's history. It's been 42 years since they won a trophy. They know how much this could mean to them. So in many ways, it's almost the diametric opposite of Sevilla, who are just used to it. And I wonder which will carry more weight tomorrow and next week.
Yeah, it should be interesting. All right, very quickly on Barcelona and Galatasaray. Galatasaray traveling to Camp Nou. They've never won there. I think their best result was a draw. I think it was 2-2. I want to say 2001. I'm checking. Yes, the 2001-2002 season. So, you know, to Jimmy's point, Xavi, I think they've only lost twice together. You know, surely they're the favorites in this tournament now.
Oh, overwhelming favorites. And Galatasaray are 12th in the Super League. This is at the moment, this is their worst ever season.
That is low.
Turkish League. Equally, you know, that means you come into it and you treat this as a complete free hit. They know Barcelona really well. Dominic Torrent, their new manager, replaced Fati Terim.
Coached NYCFC.
And obviously Pep Guardiola's former assistant. Then you also have their goalkeeper that they brought in Iñaki Peña. He's just on loan from Barcelona. He will be able to play, but also be able to advise them. So maybe all that helps. Maybe you get to the Camp Nou, you come away with, again, maybe a draw or a defeat by a one-goal margin, and then you get them back in Istanbul. And we know how tough it is playing away to Turkish teams. That's the ideal. But, you're coming up against Aubameyang, Dembele, Depay, Ferran Torres.
Adama Traore. It's just too much. Yeah. It is a lot. So the hope is to keep it tight for Galatasaray, but I think all way you see it, a Barcelona win. And yes, Des Norris, all Turkish giants are woeful this season. Right then, that's it. That's our show. The only call to action I have is the one that we have left, which is $100 Paramount Plus gift card up for grabs on Calling Calcio tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. I'll be here. Christine Cooper will be joining me. Andre Cordero will be talking all things Italian football. Maybe it'll be a Donnarumma apology tour. We'll see about that. But James Bench, thank you so much, buddy. Any final thoughts from you as we say goodbye?
I feel like now I can finally admit there's been enough distance. Isn't Luka Modric just the best? I know he used to play for Tottenham, but God, I love this guy.
He's so good. So good. Luka Modric, like a fine wine, as somebody commented in our in our comments. And so are you, James Benjamin. Thank you so much for being part of the show. James Bench on Twitter, of course. Follow all his content on CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. I'm LME, LME Chagaray on Twitter as well. We got much more to come, including Colin Calcio, Weekend Preview, Weekend Recap, and so much more. Have a great, great rest of your evening, and we will see you next time. Till then.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.